This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Welcome to this episode of Fairways and Greens. I'm your host, Gaylord Rhodes, the Vegas golf coach. And after 30 years as a golf professional, teacher, and coach, I decided it was time to share the knowledge and insights into the world of golf that I have gathered during my career as a golf professional. And joining me each episode will be a special guest from the golf industry. Together, we will discuss and share their insights, expertise, knowledge, and stories from their career and life in golf as well. Hope you enjoy this episode, and as always, I welcome and appreciate your input and suggestions for future shows, as well as your questions. So feel free to reach out and get in touch with me, the Vegas Golf Coach, by emailing me at info@golfcoachpodcast.com. That's info@golfcoachpodcast.com. Reach out and let us know what's on your mind and what you're thinking about. So let's get started with today's show. So I want to welcome everybody to this week's show. We took a week off for the holidays, and we're back. And I'm back with one of my best buddies and fellow golf professionals, Dalton McCrary from Dallas. How are you, Dalton?
Hey, Bob. How's everything going in Las Vegas?
Pretty good, pretty good. A little rain, a little cold right now this time of year. I'm pretty sure it's probably the same almost everywhere around the country this week, except in Hawaii.
We got rain and cold here in Dallas, too.
I know, brother. So a lot of real cool stuff going on this week. Like minutes ago, was just watching Golf Central, and Woody Austin shoots 59 today. Thompson shoots 59 yesterday in Hawaii. And, Woody's over, the Aquaman's over in playing in the at Diamond Resorts with that celebrity LPGA senior event, which is kind of fun. Little preseason fun for the seniors. And then we're looking at the Sony Open. Wish I was in Hawaii playing golf right now.
You're not being able to get out and it's too wet to play?
Yeah, today was kind of nice. The rain kind of blew through today. We had a big demo day in the simulation. For my listeners that don't know this, I have a beautiful indoor facility at the Las Vegas Country Club here right off the strip. I've got two indoor simulators, plus I have access to the complete golf course, and the driving range is right outside the door. Great place. We had a bunch of people in today doing club fitting. A variety of different manufacturers, including Henry Griffiths, and it was a fun day. We did it indoors, obviously, because it was raining this morning, but it turned out to be a nice afternoon. We got to sneak out on the range this afternoon. But if any of my listeners are ever coming to Las Vegas, make sure you bop over to VegasGolfCoach.com or RoadrunnerGolf.com and find me, track me down, talk to me. We can help you get golf in town, all sorts of things. Play golf, take lessons. It's just if you're heading to Vegas, make sure you check in at VegasGolfCoach.com. You can also probably track me down here at the at our website, which is Fairways and Greens. It's easy to find at GolfCoachPodcast.com. Obviously, if you're listening to it, you've already found me, but we might have some new listeners out there. So, Dalton, tell me what's going on in your life. I mean, we were having this really cool discussion about your teaching philosophy and how the mind works and what – really how you learn to play golf, and I'd really like for you to talk a little bit about that as we start the show.
Okay. When I stumbled onto this a year ago looking for myself, just like everybody, I think we all go through the same process trying to find yourself a golf swing. I just kind of stumbled onto this years ago, learning how to control what was going on in my mind. Your mind's eye is what I call it. Your hand and eye coordination. Golf to me is just hand and eye coordination. I mean, God, my goodness, if you can pitch up a baseball and hit fly balls out to your friends in the outfield, that's harder to me than golf. So, but being able to do that, that's hand and eye coordination, and you do that without even thought.
Right.
But when you start putting that little pill down, I swear teachers have made this so damn complicated that you can't swing from thinking. But that's neither here nor there. It's just the nature of the game. But your mind works just like a computer. When you're programming the mind, well, I should say, when you're programming a computer, you can't print what you're trying to program in until you first stop programming it. It's two separate functions. You're either programming or you're printing. You can't do both at the same time. And your mind works exactly the same way. What programs your mind is thinking, and you cannot have swing thoughts and swing. It's just two separate functions, and if you try to do both of them, you're just killing yourself trying to do that. I don't think it's possible to do.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, too many of my students get so wound up in the mental aspect of it, and it's just to stand them there and just say, look, just finish facing the target. Where's the target? It's not the ball. It's out in front of you. It's very hard to get the to separate the programming from the actual function.
Exactly, exactly. And the mental count that I have and the drills that I have that I try and get golfers to do just helps you let your mind's eye see the motions that your body is doing. It needs to see them over and over and over and over and over. I always get a kick out of golfers that buy the instructional tapes and they look at the drills and what have you, and maybe do it once, Gaylord, maybe once.
Right.
And then they say, yeah, I've got it. My men dogs are on the same page there, and they'll just move right on. And they just don't realize that your body's got to see that you're making these motions over and over and over before it can put the connection with what it's seeing and what it's feeling.
Right.
And so many golfers just refuse to do that. I've always gotten a big kick out of our golf camp because we get them to do it as, you know, very quickly during a golf camp. But I was always wondering how many of them actually held on to that once they left us.
Yeah. You know, the drills were the secret, Dalton. And I got to tell you, we've both experienced this. We get these students that come in, and they've been playing golf for a long time. There's obviously issues that we're trying to help them with, and you know, we've always tried to find the one thing that fixes more things to start with. And the only way you're going to take a guy who's self-taught, who's grinded out, who's made the ball the target in the beginning, and just has all these compensations going on, is to really get him drills. And I use the impact. Of course, I use the impact bag. You use the tire, which was just a phenomenal. And I don't know if any of you guys are aware of Dalton's tire drill, but it really just puts you in impact position, and that's the secret to compressing the ball and everything. And so, just to have them, we gave them the drills. There were several drills we gave them, and had they my encouragement to them in our schools, because we didn't get to follow up with them all the time. Some would come back, but most wouldn't. Was to just take these drills, go work them, and you will become a better golfer. And I so emphasize my students to go home every night and pick up a golf club and do the one or two drills that I've given them that are going to help them get to the next level. And then we can take the next step and the next step. But, you know, it's so hard to put a golf ball down and try to explain to them what to do and expect them to figure it out overnight. It's just not going to happen. They need to do these drills.
Yeah, they really do. It's so important to developing a feel for what you're doing. I tell golfers all the time, you'd be better off to go out there in the garage and hit into that tire 20 times with good rhythm and see the position that your body is in at impact and realize that the face is going to be square. You'd have better luck doing that 20 times a day than going down a driving range for an hour and hitting different golf clubs.
Yeah, the scrape and hit syndrome, where they can literally, they'll hit one, look at it, hit another one, look at it, and they'll basically just groove their compensations and tell their Roger Ranger. And then, you know, they go home and they tell their wife and their buddies, man, I got it now. I figured it out. I was striping it. And they go out the next morning. The timing's gone. The compensations are all over the place, and they just stripe it everywhere. And, you know, there is a value to hitting balls on the range. But, I mean, if you don't have some type of a plan in place to get you to the next level, and, you know, randomly watching YouTube and the golf channels and picking up all these tips is just, it's mass confusion. And half the time they think, well, I sliced the ball, so I should do that. And in reality, that's not the reason they sliced the ball. So, and it just compounds the problem. It's just, It's amazing how my students that really want to get better, that will do the drills, they come back a week or two later for the second session, and there's a phenomenal difference in their motion. And the ones that don't, not so much. And, you know, it's frustrating as a teacher, because we know the simple truth is that it's motion. It's a motion from start to finish. It's not a bunch of parts and pieces. It's not something that you need to analyze your backswing. If the club's in the wrong place, I give them a drill to help them get the club back in front of them and get their balance back and hit their finish and face the target. Drill, drill, drill. The minute you put a golf ball down in front of them, or they disappear, and their idea of practice is, particularly these guys that beat thousands of balls a month trying to get better without eyeballs on them, it's a long journey for those.
That's a good point. Eyeballs on you.
Yep.
You know, you look at the pros, and someone like a Tiger Woods that has an instructor helping him. What does that instructor actually do for him? Heck, tell me if he's doing anything besides basically being second pair of eyes.
That's the most important thing. Yep. And that's what I tell my students. And, you know, it's okay to practice. So I love it when couples come in, Dalton, because and they may not need the same drill, or they may, a lot of them I give the same drill to in the beginning if they're beginners. But once they start to move, they're going to vary their progress. And so I say, look, Jack, you need to keep an eye on Jane, and this is what I want you to watch. And when she starts doing this, correct her. And I see my couples that work and play together improve much more quickly, because they have a set of eyeballs, each of them, on each other. And so, you know, it's so funny because people think they're doing something and we're watching them, and it's like, or the guy that comes in with, this is my A swing and this is my B swing. Which one do you think is better? And you film A and you film B, and you show them B first, and so this is your A swing, right? Oh, yeah, that's my A swing. And then you show them the first swing, call it the B swing. Oh, yeah, that's my B swing. And they can't tell the difference. And it's like, feel is so elusive in this game. And without being able to, you know, have someone that knows what you're working on, what your tendencies are, when you fall out of you know, your progressive state, and you've got to have somebody, you know, we're eyeballs. We're just, we know the golf swing. We're coaches. Our job is to learn from them, learn what their tendencies are, so that we can help them get away from those and create a new set of concepts, balance, and motion ideas that allow them to get better. And, you know, everybody's at a different level, Dalton. You know that. I mean, a better player we're going to teach differently than a beginner. I mean, it's just like, but I, in point being, going back to your comment about Tiger, there's not a pro on the range, particularly on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday prior to teeing off, that doesn't have either their caddy or their coach or somebody. They got alignment clubs down, because we both know that at the highest level, you don't lose your swing overnight. You lose something in your setup and alignment situation, ball position, something simple. And they're so good they can overcome it. But if they don't catch it, they're going to groove something they don't want to groove.
Oh, listen, let me tell you mine about this. I had a glitch in my swing 2 years ago. And I played bad for 3 months. I'm watching my tapes. I see myself on that camera all the time, and I literally could not figure out what am I doing wrong. And Ross Henry was coming into town, and I couldn't wait for him to get here so he could be that second pair of eyes on my swing.
Yeah, took him like 5 minutes.
Yeah, so when he called, said I'm here, I ran over 50, but we went out to his driving range. I just couldn't wait to start hitting the ball right again. I took about 4 swings, and I said, what do you see? And Ross said, well, Dalton, why don't you stand up tall like you were when I hit you with those clubs? I had moved the ball out maybe ball and a half, 2 balls, and it made that much difference in my swing play than what I could do, and I could not see that on my own. That's all he told me, and I moved the ball in 2 balls, and everything went back where it was.
Yeah, yeah, no.
You gotta hit this second pair of eyes. You just have to.
And hopefully they're a good pair of eyes that know what they're talking about. I got to tell you, you know, watching, having a chance to grow up and getting mentored and in the Henry Griffiths family, a lot of great, I mean, you know, Dalton, you're one of us. I mean, there's so many great teachers. And, you know, we pioneered all this club fitting and teaching and went out and taught teachers how to teach and fit. And just going through the industry like that, but getting around Randy and Ross and Hofmeister and Maypother and all these great, great guys that were just other fellow PGA pros like us. And, you know, we just gathered a group of people and created this network, and we share information. And you know, we're doing it again now, as you know, all us old school guys are hanging out on the internet and blogging and talking and trying to share our knowledge that we gathered over the last 40 years. I mean, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of good young instructors out there, but 9 times out of 10, there was someone that took them under their wing years ago and mentored them and enabled them to become very, very effective teachers. It's hard, Stan. I mean, I remember in the early days doing 10 lessons a day when 110 degrees outside here in Vegas and, you know, going home and dropping like a fly because you put so much of your heart and energy into what you're doing if you care and, you know, and getting better and learning better techniques and understanding it. I mean, there's no question in my mind that experience is so huge in this business. And to make it, I love that, you know, one of your favorites, my favorite quotes that I stole from you is, it ain't rocket science. And, you know, I can't imagine how many times I heard you say that and how many times I've used it. But, you know, we've got to find a way to make it, to get through to the student, to get to their core needs, and then to help them move forward. And if they're serious about it, they're going to improve. I mean, if it's just, I'm just going to come, you know, I'm going to go take a lesson. And so many of them come one time and we never see them again. And obviously, you know, that's a big factor. And or they're off with the next guy and the next guy and the next guy. Confusion, confusion, confusion. Find somebody that you relate to. Find somebody that you know has your best interest in your heart and just stay with them. You know, it's a journey. You're going to have ups and downs just like any other journey in life or relationship you develop. But I love my long-term committed students, and I don't see them much anymore. And all of a sudden, they call me, and they come out, and we get set, and it's just like Ross looking at you. You know, why don't you just get back in that same position? Or, you know, what'd you do with your equipment? Or, you know, why are you doing this? And immediately the light bulb goes off. And, you know, as teachers, we know I do the same thing. I've got weight transfer machine. I got everything in there. I can go in there. And I can be struggling, and I can look at it from, you know, 14 different angles, and then I can have Markham or one of my guys I trust come in and go, nope, this is it, boom, and you're done. You're back on track. Or through trial and error, I will figure it out one way or the other, which is, you know, could take months, you know. So.
Well, I finally realized with my swing, you know, that it's not the swing that I even worry about anymore. It's more my alignment, making sure that my hands are on the golf club correctly so it can return it square. You know, it's all that setup that and pre-shot routine that you do that's more important than most golfers actually realize.
Yeah, setup is so fundamental. So fundamental.
Yeah, if you don't set up the same way, it's kind of hard to produce the same swing every time.
Yeah, it is, you know, and it's like I tell my students, I mean, you know, at our age, Dalton, you know, we're in our 60s now, and the body just isn't as fluid and flexible as it used to be. So my first deal is when I go to the range, and let's say I'm going to go out and play, so I'm warming up, I'm trying to figure out where the width of my stance, the spine angle I'm going to be able to comfortably move in, how much I turn my left foot out or not. I'm just looking for my balance point. I'm just swinging, trying to feel my body and the motion I'm trying to create. And then, you know, I'm not really that particular about where the ball goes to me, because I know my biggest issue is if I can get to my front foot, if I can transfer my weight properly, I'm going to hit it inside the goalposts. If I'm releasing off my back foot, I'm going to hit it left. And if I get the club behind me, I'm going to hit it right. So, you know, I just, those are my tendencies. So once I see Once I get loose and I start looking up, then I'm going to go, okay, so it looks like I'm a little underplaying. I'm going to probably miss to the right a little bit. So I just favor that side of the golf course as I go around. And, I'm just trying to find out where I am that day. And I think if, you know, that's why the guys on the tour can shoot 62 one day and 75 the next day. I mean, it's just a matter of feel and balance and stress and everything. It's such a fine line in this game. Because the misses are a couple degrees here or there, and I don't care how good you are, you're going to miss your target. So it's people just think, you know, they're going to be able to go out and get a lesson, and they're going to get better. And, you know, how many times do they come and they take a lesson and then they go tell their buddies they got worse? So, you know.
That's really the truth. If you don't learn to do what you gain from a teacher on the driving range, if you can't do it on the driving range over and over and over, there's absolutely no way you can do it on the golf course.
That's right. So I get,
you know, being able to hit a golf ball where you wanted to go. I just look at all the people that play golf and play basketball at one time or another. And you had a routine. When you stepped up to that free throw line and that referee gave you the ball, you had a routine that never changed.
Nope.
You put your foot up on that line the same way every time. You bounced that ball the same number of times every time. You put your fingers on the seams the same way every time. And all I'm asking golfers to do is do the same thing with your golf.
Yeah, I know. And just for just
–
And that's a great analogy. And I got to tell you, for my podcast listeners that don't know, Dalton used to be a basketball referee at the college level, and so his analogy about that is absolutely true. And if you watch all the great golfers, they all have pre-shot routines. They all stick to them. And here's the value to it, Dalton. It's the fact that if you're playing, I don't care if you're trying to win a golf tournament at any level in the game. Amateur, professional, or you got a $10 Nassau riding on this hole, and you get coming down the stretch, and if you don't have a pre-shot routine, you're gonna and you fall out of it, you're gonna lose your composure. So the thing about pre-shot routines, which I preach to my kids that are aspiring high school and college golfers, is that the pre-shot routine gives you a comfort zone to work in. No matter how stressful the shot is, if you focus on your routine, it's just another shot. But if you allow yourself to get out of your rhythm and get out of your pre-shot routine, anything can happen. And now your stress level goes up. It's a way to, you know, I teach them how to breathe in, you know, when they're stressed out, and just do your routine, stick with it. Look at Jason Day and the eye fluttering, how he's focusing that way. And there's a technique that they teach about that. So, you know, if you're out there listening and you don't have a regular pre-shot routine, I would try to develop one. And here's my deal. The first thing you want to do is 85% of your ball flight is going to be based on where that face was pointing when you hit it. So the least you could do is line up and get the face pointing exactly where you want the ball to finish, and then set your body square to that, and then go. And you know, so many people have no idea where they're aiming. They have they're not even concerned about the target. They just want to hit the golf ball. And you know, if you have, it's amazing to watch. The things that we see out there, it's really crazy.
Yeah, you know, and I keep telling golfers this, and for those of you that are listening, make note of this, because I promise you, this is a fact. When you stand up there on the driving range that is usually 90 to 100 yards wide, there ain't a tree out there, so you can hit it anywhere you want to, and you get used to looking at that, and then go over to number one tee box, and look at down there in the fairway, it's 35 yards wide, and you get panicky.
Yep.
When you're on that driving range, golfers, you pinpoint an area out there between two targets and between two trees in the back, whatever. Pinpoint a left and a right fairway marker for your shots, and try and keep your ball inside an area when you're on the driving range. Just don't hit it and look up and think that you hit a good shot just because it's landed in the fairway.
Yeah.
We can all do that if we were playing golf courses that had 95 yard fairways, but we don't.
Yep. Yeah, the pressure creeps in when you. OB left.
Focus on where your left and where the right is, and make sure that you don't throw your club head through the ball out into the rough on one side or the other. Just being aware of what you're doing on that driving range really makes a difference in what you can do on a golf course.
It does. And, you know, one of the nice things about my simulators is I can put in, I can lock in different range situations that are narrow, that give you tree lines on both sides, that give you, you know, water and out of bounds, so that you're actually hitting on a range that is effectively the width of a fairway, which is very powerful. And, you know, and it gives you kind of this tunnel vision a little bit. I, you know, in a lot of ways, I think it's a better approach to hitting golf balls than just standing out on this wide open range. To me, the other thing that I keep stressing with my students is you don't play golf on the driving range. You play golf on the golf course. Get out and play the game to learn. And then come to me and tell me where your weaknesses are. Are you missing? Are you hitting it in somebody's backyard or in the pond? Are you missing the greens right or left? You know, go play the game. And then, you know, I honestly believe that, you know, impact is impact whether you're hitting a chip shot, pitch shot, or a full swing. And so I think understanding by taking them out and working on the short game and emphasizing, you know, in the full swing, hitting the tire, hitting the impact bag, or understanding where actual impact is, putting the body in that position and letting them work, you know, from that position backwards is sometimes very effective with people. I just don't think people really understand how to use the golf club. I mean, honestly, the irons have been made with forged shaft lean for centuries, and yet everybody's got the club head past their hands at impact, swinging up on it. It's like crazy. So,
yeah, there's probably not much we haven't seen in 30, 40 years beyond driving ranges.
No, I really get a tickle. It's a lot of these guys that have been playing a long time, and there's some members out of the club that have been playing golf forever, and they're such great guys. And I go, so all of a sudden they're losing distance and everything's kind of weak and right. And I go, so do you understand? And I ask him, can you show me impact with that iron? And inevitably they can't. And it's just hilarious how people really don't understand the truth about compressing the ball and, you know, covering it, you know, covering the ball with a face and having a slight forward shaft lean at impact. They don't understand those things. And so consequently, it's you know, it's just the truth. And so I just, it's such a tough game, and people struggle with it all the time. And I have a lot of sympathy for them, as you do. But we've been down those roads, Dalton. We learned like they did. And we just sought out people that gave us good information and took it, and we kind of dug it out of the dirt like we did in the old days. Everybody kind of helped everybody out on the mini tours and out on the driving ranges in those days. And now it's so sophisticated in so many different ways you can break the swing down and the biomechanics down and three-dimensional modeling and all this stuff. And, you know, to try to compare my typical student with the modern golf swing of the professionals today is like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I just want them in balance. They're not athletes. They can't move their hips at 150 miles an hour. I mean, it's not going to happen. So,
I'm with you, buddy. You got to compare weekend golfers' golf swings with good weekend golfers' golf swings.
Exactly.
You can't compare them with the tour.
Yeah.
There's just no comparison.
Yep. And I think there's a lot of that going on. I think, you know, there's overanalysis. And, you know, to me, I want to get them out there. I want to get them. I had a couple come in from Fresno today and just came by for an hour and a half. And neither one of them had played for over 10 years and had very little experience in golf to begin with. And we sat there for the first 45 minutes each, set up, alignment, swinging, and finishing in balance on their front foot. No golf ball, nothing in the way, no hitting. And the minute I put a golf ball down, the guy goes whack and just, you know, it's obviously. And I go, so did you finish facing the target on your front foot? And he fell back, swung up, swung as hard as he could, and pulled himself out of balance. And his girlfriend, or actually it was his wife, was over there laughing at him. And so she stood up, no concept whatsoever, swung to balance, hit her finish, had the ball in the tee, striped it right over the top of the target out there. and looked over to him and smiled. And so he goes, "Get me in there." So he gets in there. It takes us 20 minutes with the ball in front of him to get him to relax and just swing to balance and hit his finish again. And as soon as he does, he just really starts. And it was just amazing to watch. And I love working with beginners like that, that haven't been watching YouTube or listening to this, or, you know, they came in, had no concept, no equipment, and it was fun. And I think that is so rewarding as a teacher, to get someone who hasn't grooved all these compensations and allow them to kind of learn the right way. And so it's so much fun. I mean, it's not really complicated, but to try to explain, you know, the primary lever and the dual horizontal hinge and all this other crap, and, you know, and swing plane, you know, I just, look, it's a circle, guys. We just want to keep the club in front and our elbows down, and let's hit our finish, you know. Get them started. Get them started with the concept of it's a motion. It's not a hitting the ball game. And it's amazing what happens when it's just like almost a ballet. I mean, when you watch the best players in the world, I mean, they're in such perfect balance. They have such great footwork. You know, there is talent out there, Dalton. It's, you can't teach talent, but when you get someone who has talent and you get out of their way and you just guide them along the road, they can become phenomenal. And it's so much fun when a kid walks in that just has natural talent and knows how to hit something hard, you know, and just take that kid and just take him on the journey of discovering his own golf swing, which is really the goal. It's just interesting to see when these better players decide they want to get better and what got them there isn't good enough, and then they go out and start tweaking it, and they end up falling off the face of the earth for a while.
Oh, yeah, well, absolutely. You know, several things that I always think about that were light bulb moments, turning that light in the closet on, you know, to you and I as speaker. Well, golfers, it's a golf swing. It's not a golf hit.
Yep.
That may seem funny, but you're just trying to learn how to swing a golf club. The ball just happens to be in the way. You're not physically trying to hit the ball. You're trying to make a good golf swing. And if you think you got a good golf swing, just stand up there with your driver in your hand and get ready to hit and close your eyes and go ahead and rip one. If you can't stay in balance, then you're doing something wrong.
Exactly. Exactly. I remember that.
It's probably going too fast.
Yeah. You want to see somebody fall over in a hurry, just tell them to close their eyes and swing once.
Absolutely. One of the first things that I do with golfers, because I love a stopwatch, is we find out that speed that they cannot perform at.
Exactly. I remember the stopwatch.
You'd be surprised how many golfers, you know, I tell them to take a practice swing, and they'll swing... And they won't take a divot. But no. It's a practice swing. Do the same thing that you're fixing to do when you hit the ball. Take a divot. They'll swing and they won't hit. Take a divot. Okay? 99 times out of 100, if you slow down, you'll eventually get to the speed that you can take a divot every time.
Exactly.
That speed that you cannot hit, take a divot, you need to understand what that timing is. It saves a whole lot of my discussion on a golf course in front of somebody. Once we determine that speed they cannot perform at, then I time every swing. And if they swing, the first thing they want to do as soon as they get through hitting the ball, you know as well as I do, they look at you for confirmation. Every ball, they look at you for confirmation.
Pretty much.
And if you start saying something every time, you can absolutely overwhelm a student with knowledge you didn't need that you just want to talk about.
Exactly.
I'm guilty of that myself. So I've gotten used to this stopwatch, and I time their swing, and I look at it, and if it's at that timing that they can't perform, and they look at me for confirmation, I just show them the time on the stopwatch, and I don't have to say anything.
Yep. Nope.
Too fast.
No, it's great.
Right.
It's great. You know, I agree.
You got to find that timing that you can take a divot with every time, and if you'll slow that swing down, golfers, I swear it will help you a bunch.
Yeah, it will. It's a great...
Okay, one other thing, let me throw this at you, talking about that
Yep.
Guys, when y'all swinging into an impact bag or into a tire, I like a tire more than an impact bag because I want to be able to see the face, and the face will bury into an impact bag, and you got to pull it back. And I just wanted to stop it and let me see what it was doing.
Right.
Because if you swing into an impact bag, guys, or you swing into a tire and let it stop your swing at impact, if the golf club is not square to the back of that tire when you hit it, do not try and figure out what your body's doing wrong. What is wrong is you're gripping it wrong. When you hit that tire, if the club head face isn't square, then turn it so it is square, and then back up and set up and look how your hands look on the golf club.
Exactly. That's great. That's great. I remember watching you do that a couple times. You know, I don't think people understand, really, obviously, how to use the tool. I think that confuses everybody in the beginning. It's not a hand-eye coordination because the face of the golf club actually sits 100 degrees off of the palm of your hand. So it's not like you can just instantly step up like ping pong or tennis or something and just react to the ball. It's like a hand-eye coordination thing. I think... You know, a lot of great athletes get into the game and with great hand-eye coordination and try to rely on it. And it's, you know, the body and the balance and the motion are the key. I think too many people, I mean, my theory is if you can swing in balance, if I can teach you how to swing in balance and I can put a ball down and you can figure out how to keep that face square to the target line throughout your golf swing, you're going to hit it pretty good. And that's how I teach most amateurs now. I don't get technical about it. I just say, you know, the face has an eyeball on it. Take it back and make the eyeball look at the ball at least for the first couple feet. Then I know they haven't whipped it inside behind their butt already in the first 4 inches, and they got a chance, you know. So it's so interesting. I always ask my students when they come in, so what are you thinking about right now? You know, particularly guys that have played for a while. What is your swing thought? What are you thinking about in your swing? And to listen to some of their comments is just crazy. And I'm going, well, maybe we can make it a little simpler than that, dude. You know, I have a guy yesterday that I asked him, so what are you thinking about in your swing? So he goes, oh, hold on a minute. He walks over to his golf bag, Don, and he pulls out this notebook. And he's got, like, half of it filled with golf swing notes. He says, this is my notebook, man. I say, are you going back to this page 40 pages back? Or is this where you are today on this page? He goes, well, it's kind of, I use this page. This is kind of what I'm thinking about today. But I go back and refer to all this other stuff. And I'm going, so do you think it's getting a little too complicated? And he goes, and he pauses for a second. And I say, so hit a golf ball and I want you to swing, and then after you get swung, I want you to tell me what you were thinking about. He went through this four-step process that he used to hit that golf ball, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I might not be the right instructor for you, dude. You might want to just hang out on YouTube some more and go watch, you know, the Golf Channel or something, because I finally got him to just start doing some drills and freed himself up a little bit. I mean, not a bad golfer, actually, but just so wound up in the mechanics. I go, so do you think about this when you're on the golf course? And he goes, oh, yeah. This is my pre-shot routine, man. I go through this checklist. I'm going, uh-oh, we're in trouble. So it's amazing what people can do. I mean, and the more analytical they are, the harder it gets.
Of all the straight shooting golfers that are out there that I have taught, the three complete failures I am is helping the analytical golfer because I don't say enough.
Well, I don't know, Dalton, that I saw David Duvall on the Golf Channel Academy, and he was talking about his release, and it just struck me that it was so. You know, remember when you said you can let it go as fast as you want, right, from the top? Well, what it does is it causes the hand to release under and it keeps the face so square, and that's your golf swing, basically. And Duvall was talking about it, and when I saw him in slow motion show how he felt his hand work through impact, and it was like throwing a club behind you. You don't rotate your hands through impact. The right hand goes under, It goes under, not over. And everybody, you know, thinks you got to rotate it over, you know, and yet, and so your little 3 foot zone of squareness, although not politically correct, was absolutely the feel you had because that right hand was working under for that period of time. And so I just wanted to share that with you. I mean, if you get a chance to go back and look at that, I think it's going to blow your mind about how he talks about how he releases it. And
I saw it.
Yeah, and it's almost like it's almost a concept where it feels like you're kind of coming over the top, which is we've always played our best golf feeling that move. All the pros feel that move if you ask them. And then that hand working under instead of over, and to me, if you look at it and understand the golf swing like we do, the face was square all the way through the golf swing. It was powerful. It's a great show. And it's one of the reasons he was number one in driving on the tour for 3 or 4 years in a row. And, you know, he just never missed a fairway. And shot 59 and just an amazing. Unfortunately, he's gone now just was never able to find his game again. But I just think it was amazing because that whole thing that you – and I always was fascinated because, you know, you and I have two different styles. You were very upright, dual hinging, and I was more round and flat. And I've actually changed quite a bit of that today. But, you know, it functions. I mean, I remember when we were studying the different body types, and we figured that the body types dictated the different swings, when in reality, it wasn't so much the body type. It was just the way you swung the balance dictated where the club went. So I remember we did a lot of research. You and I talked a lot about body styles, and as you progressed with your golf schools, we began to talk about maybe we need to teach the different body styles different golf swings. And in reality, all it was we just got to let them find their natural motion, and whatever it is, that's what you teach them. And it's so hard to take everybody and try to teach them the same thing, and because everybody's different, everybody. We're trying to create their golf swing, their best golf swing that they can create based on their athletic ability, their ability to practice and play. And if they're going to play once a month, and then you just give them drills. Go do these drills and go out and play and have fun and enjoy the game. But if these guys are serious golfers and the guy that practices 4 or 5 times a week and plays twice or 3 times, you know, it's a different animal. And I think it's sad that I see so many instructors out there today that teach everybody the same thing. And a lot of it is what they know. It works for them, so they teach it. And it's just, you can't do that. I mean, it was so much fun to have all those different styles and people in front of us and to assemble all these great teachers, our friends that came and helped us. And it was just a great experience. It'd be, I'd always hope we could do it again. So that's one of our goals.
Going to do it again. Now, listen, now you can cut this out or whatever you want to do with it. I'm going to go back a minute. You were talking about earlier of asking a golfer, what are you thinking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I've had this conversation with different teachers on these teacher blogs many times. And here's my question to them. How do you get someone to swing without having a swing thought?
Great question.
Okay, now understand, this is what I was trying to explain to you when I said your mind is doing two different things. Or it can't do two things at once. It's either programming or it's printing, okay?
Right.
It can't do two at once. So with that, with agreeing with that, you cannot have a swing thought and swing.
I agree.
So when you're asking somebody, what are you thinking about, how do you now stop them from thinking? This is what I say when I say golf is taught wrong to golfers, because the information that you're giving the golfer, all you can do is make the son of a gun think. And the one thing you cannot do is have swing thoughts and swing. Once that golfer leaves you and goes to the driving range and gets you a bucket of balls, he's standing out there by himself. My Lord, he has nothing in his mind but swing thoughts of everything that y'all talked about.
Exactly.
And he's trying to swing. How do you let him swing without having a swing thought? Gaylord, I'm the
Well, tell the world.
That mental count that I have, what it does is when you are mentally counting your swing and hitting those three positions, your mind is in a position, is in the mode of telling your body what to do. And it will eliminate, you cannot have a swing thought, you cannot have a negative thought in your being and count. It cannot happen. It's two different functions.
So
that's the way you count.
Yep. And so tell our audience what your count was, because I thought it was fascinating.
Well, that's the one thing I don't give away.
Ah. Okay, well, I know what it is. I know what it is, and it works for me.
The mental count, the positions, and the mental count, and the drills are all designed to let you feel what your swing is supposed to feel like. Trying to get the impact bag, the pole drill, the over and under drill, were all designed for your mind's eye to see the motions that your body is making. And do it over and over and over until it makes the connection with what it sees you do and the feel of what is happening.
Yeah. And you know,
once it makes that connection, it is all over. And once it makes that connection, Gaylord, and you continue this mental count, okay, it gets so accustomed to you saying one and roll. I don't mind saying that. It's to saying one and roll that when you start your one piece takeaway and you count one, Your mind knows that end and roll are coming.
Yep.
It knows it. It anticipates the next two commands because it gets so used to it, and that is when your golf swing gets exceptionally smooth.
Right. No, it takes it. It creates balance and motion, and that's the key to it. You've got. I mean, and to get back to that point of what. Well, 9 times out of 10, when I ask them, they're always thinking about something in the backward motion or the backswing motion, whatever you want to call it. And that's ludicrous because you do not hit the ball back there. And to try to tell your body to do something in the split second it takes for the – you can't – by the time the signal gets to your hands or whatever it is you're trying to do, it's too late. And so, yeah, to get them – to just free them up. And that's why Randy always just taught, you know, just simple things like hit your finish, swing left – swing low. I mean, little things that aren't mechanical, and giving them drills to go work on. And I love the one and roll. We used to use that all the time. I use a couple different things. But even if you go out and you ask some of the great players out there, they always had little mantras that they would say. You know, I've heard crazy stuff like, you know, marshmallow or you know, just crazy stuff. But it works. And it is a very valuable – very valuable too, from a teaching standpoint, to help your students kind of clear their minds up and just hit the shot. I mean, I like to, visualization is so huge on the golf course. I mean, you got to see what you want to do. You got to see where you want the ball to land, and then you just step up and let it happen. And you know, it's crazy, but I agree with you 100%. You've got to get the mind off of mechanics.
And there's only one way to do that.
Yes.
The way golf is taught, Gaylord, you say hand and eye coordination, and it is hand and eye coordination. You can't even open the door without hand and eye coordination. I don't like instruction the way they do it today because you reach out and shake hands with somebody and teachers go, now tell me the five motions that your arm made to do that.
Exactly.
Who cares?
Exactly.
What that motion is.
Exactly.
It does it. That's all you need to know is that it does it. You do not need to know how.
Right.
The teachers that tell you the time and the ones that want to teach you how to build a watch.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I know. I'm following your stuff, dude. I see the little conversations you get into. It's hilarious. I just laugh because I know you and I know exactly how you think. And you know, there's a time and a place for everything. But it is way over instructed. And being an instructor and getting around and working with other instructors and analyzing and looking into it and reading every book ever printed about it, there's a ton of information in there. And And the problem is most of these other teachers have done the same thing, and they keep trying to spit out what they've learned rather than helping the student learn their best motion, which has nothing to do with how this does and this does. I mean, I just elbows down, arms in front. Let's hit the finish, man. I mean, let's keep this simple. I mean, that in itself will put the club where I want it, okay? If they understand what in front of their body is and you know, there's and how they get in a good setup position, let's just keep that all in front of you and hit it. Let's go, you know? I mean, it's not – I mean, I drill them on setup because setup is so fundamental, but after that, it's just motion. I mean, it's not and you know, my set of eyeballs is just making sure they keep the arms in front and hit their finish. I mean, and if they can't do it, they're obviously out of the shoulders may be out of line. They may be whipping the club behind them. You don't need to explain what they're doing wrong, which is another thing you see a lot of, is people analyzing everything you're doing wrong. And I don't go there, man. I want them to just – I want to take what they're doing right, and let's build on that.
I had this hitting golf balls last year on the driving range one afternoon by myself, just this mom and pop driving range. And as I started hitting golf balls, there was this gentleman standing behind me, probably 60 yards or so where the awning was, and he just started watching me. And I probably hit balls for just a little over an hour, Gaylord, and he never moved. He sat there and watched me the whole time. When I packed up my bags and I'm starting to walk out, he walked over and said, "You're Dalton McCray, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "I bought your tapes 18 years ago and have had a question for 18 years. I can't believe I saw you. I need to ask you a question."
There you go.
Had a question, Gaylord, for 18 years. Can you imagine that? Oh, my goodness.
So what was the question? Don't leave us here.
I really was in a rush, and I told him to meet me up there the next day. As I was filming, and we were talking, what have you. So he did. He came out there. And as I'm setting up and getting the camera rolling, he was just standing up, and I said, "Let me show you something." And what I did was take two clubs and hold them like it was a gun with the shafts sitting out. And I stood in front of him, and I put these two shafts on both sides of his body, about a little less than shoulder. Anyway, this guy was a bare body guy,
right?
Short and round, okay?
Right.
And I put these clubs on both sides, and I said, "All I want you to do is swing back and cock your wrist over this one, and then swing back and cock your wrist over that one, and just realize where this spot on both sides of your head is."
Right.
"So you're going to go to that spot on the right side of the top of your backswing, and you have to keep your peripheral vision level till your hands get to the same place on the other side."
Exactly.
That's all I told him, Gaylord, and his body started doing it instantly. He felt that.
Yep. Good. That's awesome.
Instantly. If you don't realize where that spot is on both sides, if your hands, when they're swinging, there's a spot that they start up at the top, but there's a spot over on the left that they finish.
Exactly.
And you have to let it finish.
Exactly.
Most golfers, as soon as they hit the touch the ball, they're looking up to see where flat is, and that will not put your hands in the same place.
Nope, you have to finish the circle. Yep, you got to finish the circle, man. Got to finish the circle on both sides. So.
Absolutely.
Yep, that's the.
And it's little things like that that I talk about more than anything else with their setup and being aware. Because once you make a full swing and the ball doesn't go where you want to, did you wait till your right shoulder got up underneath your chin so your hands were in the same place on both sides?
Yeah.
Well, that's what you did wrong. You know, stop doing that.
Yeah, and I think the key to that whole thing is educated hands, and we knew that from the golf machine. I mean, it's all about educating your hands, and you know, once the hands know where they're going, you don't have to think about it anymore. And so, It's amazing how simple it can really be. If you and to be an effective teacher, you don't have to know everything. You just have to be able to relate to your student and figure out what's going to help them the most and give them that and give them ways to reinforce that and get them out and tell them, go play golf. You don't play golf on the driving range. Get out there and play. So, you know, that's my big encouragement. Listen, we're getting down to the wire here, Dalton, and I wanted to thank you again. You know, you and I go so far back, and you'll be, you know, obviously one of my regular guests off and on. It's so fun to get you on here and get you to get you talking. All right, old school golf. And I love it, and I think our audience really likes it, and I look forward to getting this show up on the air for everybody and share it with everybody, and I look forward to seeing you again, and get your butt out here, and let's do some golf schools. Everybody, I want to thank you for listening in today, and I want to thank my guest Dalton for coming in on the show. And Dalton, I look forward to now that Dickie's back, Dalton's marketing agent, we're going to get some things going, and we'll hope to share some concepts and where you can find us and if you're interested. And Dalton's in Dallas. You can find Dalton all over Facebook, Dalton McCrary. And thanks again, Dalton, for coming in. It was a great show, and I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, Tom, I appreciate you having me on. Always love talking to you.
All righty. Well, folks, it's time to say goodbye to this episode of Fairways and Greens. Hope you enjoyed the show. And if you would like to subscribe to the show, just head over to golfcoachpodcast.com. That's www.golfcoachpodcast.com. And don't forget to reach out with your questions and your input on the show to info@golfcoachpodcast.com. So reach out with your questions and anything you'd like to add or any suggestion on future shows to info@golfcoachpodcast.com. You can find me, the Vegas Golf Coach, and a link to my blogs, coaching centers, and programs at www.vegasgolfcoach.com. That's www.vegasgolfcoach.com. So goodbye for now, and here's to finding your share of fairways and greens in your journey through life and golf.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.